Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast for Wednesday, March 22nd. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio wherever you listen to podcasts to show us a little support, which we always thank you for and we always appreciate. All right, Giants fans, today I have for you a really interesting interview, what I hope you'll find to be a really interesting interview with Cincinnati wide receiver Tyler Scott, a young man who could be on the Giants radar on day two of the upcoming 2023 NFL draft if the Giants choose to go elsewhere at 25 in round one and wait to supplement their wide receiver core on the second day of the draft, or maybe early on the third day of the draft. Scott, of course, is a speedster from Cincinnati who has been drawing raves throughout the draft process and could be a player that the Giants look to as they continue to try to add explosive playmaking weapons around quarterback Daniel Jones. But before we get to that interview, have a few thoughts on some of the news going on with the Giants. So over the past few days, on Tuesday, we found out that the Giants are signing a veteran defensive back, Bobby McCain, most recently with the Washington Commanders. McCain will be getting a one-year deal, basically to replace Giants former Giants safety Julian Love, who signed with the Seattle Seahawks in free agency. And I know that Giants fans are still upset about losing Julian Love to Seattle, still wondering why the Giants didn't bring him back. And listen, you know, what I have said and what I have believed the entire offseason is that Giants general manager Joe Shane pretty much telegraphed the fact that one of the positions where he might be looking to save money this offseason was at safety. There was a report from Pat Leonard of the Daily News that there was a persistent disconnect between Love and the Giants throughout the free agency process. And what I have said and what I simply believe when it comes to Julian Love is that Julian Love is a nice player. He's a mid-round pick by Dave Gettleman a few years back, finally got a chance to fully show what he could do in 2022 and had a nice season. No doubt about that. He was a captain, key defensive player, key special teams player, a guy who was really good to have in the locker room, did a nice job for the Giants on the field. The reality of it was that I think the disconnect was in the way that Julian Love and his camp valued Love's contributions versus what the Giants saw. I think that Julian Love and his camp thought that he was worth more, thought that he had more value than Joe Shane and the Giants thought that he had. I always kind of thought that Shane had been indicating that he might try to save some money in free agency by looking into lower cost free agent safeties. He said multiple times that there was depth in the free agent market at safety, that there was also depth in the draft class. Keep in mind that not only do the Giants have Xavier McKinney at safety, they drafted Dane Belton in the fourth round a year ago, a young player who they like. They brought in Jason Pinnock, a young player who did a really, really nice job for the Giants when Xavier McKinney was out most of the second half of last season after his accident in Cabo. So they have some players who they like. And the reality of it was, I simply feel like they didn't see Julian Love the way Julian Love saw his value. And listen, this is simply what happens sometimes when you get new regimes. Not every single player that was there previously might get let go, and not every single one might get let go in the first year. But over time, guys make decisions about players. They move on. They want to structure the roster their way. They want players who they brought in. You know, the reality of it is, you know, a guy like Joe Shane, a guy like Brian Daboll, their jobs are on the line every single year. Their reputations, their legacies are on the line. As much as they can, they want to live and die with players who they chose. They want to live and die with players they scouted, with players they brought in. They want the roster to be their roster, not the previous general manager's roster. And I know that the signing of Daniel Jones to a long-term contract flies in the face of that. But Joe Shane admitted to me a couple of weeks ago that he's surprised to be here. But Daniel Jones played well enough in 2022 to force his hand, to force Shane and Brian Daboll to change their minds and to move forward with Daniel Jones. But in the case of Julian Love, I just think that this was a case where the Giants really wanted to save some money, and they just valued the player differently than the player valued himself. McCain is a nice veteran player, played for, I believe, 5 or 6 years with the Miami Dolphins, in the last couple of years with the Washington Commanders, was a cornerback at the beginning of his career, now plays safety, should be a nice player to add into the mix, guy who's been durable, guy who's started almost every game over recent years. I think he's only had one year where he missed significant time with an injury, guy who plays almost every snap or has played almost every snap in recent years. Durability, obviously important. So we'll see how it works out. But the move to sign a lower cost player than Julian Love is one that really the Giants have been telegraphing most of the offseason. And now that has come to pass. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the offensive line. Did a feature on Tuesday at Big Blue View on what the plan might or might not be on the offensive line. Please stop by the site and read that if you haven't done that already. But I just wanted to take a minute and talk about that. I keep hearing, you know, some of the New York media folks, some folks commenting at Big Blue View, some folks on Twitter are talking about how the Giants' approach to the offensive line thus far is a little bit of a reminder to the way that Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge approached the offensive line in 2021, when basically Gettleman said that we apparently like the players that we have more than you guys do. The Giants didn't draft anyone to supplement that offensive line that year. They really didn't go out in free agency and add anyone until it got to training camp, when they needed to try to find some veteran depth as they had injuries. And we know that that the plan in 2021 sort of blew up in the Giants' faces. They wanted to go with mostly all guys they had drafted or guys they had drafted and developed. And injuries, poor performance, probably miscalculating on a couple of their picks, everything, that all blew up in their faces. And I know that people think about that when they look at the Giants so far, who have made no moves to add anything to their offensive line, but have lost Nick Gates to the Commanders and John Feliciano to the San Francisco 49ers, both of the guys who might have been looked at as potential starting centers. And I understand the comparison. I understand the thought process, but let me remind you that there are still 5 or 6 weeks until the NFL draft. There are still free agent centers available. I fully expect the Giants to add something in terms of a center, in terms of a guy who's got some experience playing center, even if it's a stopgap type player, even if it's a one-year deal. I mean, they were expected to give Feliciano a one-year deal, and I don't know how much money Feliciano got from San Francisco, but you know, perhaps Feliciano just got tired of waiting for the Giants to get some of the other things done that they needed to get done, and took an offer that he had in hand to go to San Francisco and play there. You know, leaves the Giants with a need for an experienced center. Ben Bredesen could play there and did play there just a handful of snaps last year. Shane Lemieux, who's been injured for the last 2 years, has dabbled a little bit at center, might be an option unless the Giants add somebody. But again, I think you'll see the Giants add a low-cost veteran, probably on a one-year deal, maybe as a, you know, likely as a stopgap, maybe as a guy to begin the season at center. But I fully expect the Giants to go into the NFL draft and supplement this offensive line in the draft. Fully expect them to draft a center, perhaps really early, perhaps in the first round, where you'll hear names like John Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota and perhaps Joe Tippmann out of Wisconsin. Later in the draft, you might hear Steve Avila out of TCU, who could play guard or center. Luke Whipler out of Ohio State. Several other players in the middle rounds of the draft. The young man from Michigan, whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce here on the show, who could also be a mid-round option for the Giants at center. So there are options, there are possibilities. And in terms of looking at this like the failure of 2021, I'm not willing to go there until after we get through the draft. If the Giants haven't done anything then, if they go through the draft and don't add anything, don't address the offensive line fairly early, don't address the offensive line with a couple of picks, they have 10 picks, you know, then I'll look at it and say, this is a gamble like the one that Gettleman took in 2021. Until then, yes, I understand how it reminds people of that, but I think that it's too early to say that the Giants are going into 2023 and not doing anything to try to upgrade the interior of their offensive line. There is still plenty of time for them to get that done, and we'll see what happens with that as we go forward here for the next few weeks. All right, let's take a short break for a word from our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll hear the interview that I did with Cincinnati wide receiver Tyler Scott.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, Giants fans, we know that heading into the 2023 NFL draft, some of the things that the Giants have done in free agency, signing Paris Campbell, re-signing Darius Slayton, trading for tight end Darren Waller, have maybe pushed wide receiver down the Giants' priority list a little bit, maybe made it a little bit less of a possibility at 25 in the first round. But that doesn't mean that the Giants won't be in the market for wide receiver help. And today I have the opportunity to speak to a young man who might be a day two possibility for the Giants. And I'd like to welcome in Tyler Scott of Cincinnati right now. Tyler, thank you much for joining the show.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be on.
So tell me, you know, how has this whole draft process been for you, you know, since the end of your season with Cincinnati? I know that, you know, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. So I'm just curious how this whole thing has played out for you.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, like, you know, it's honestly just been an honor to be a part of something that, you know, from since I was little, you know, you always dream of doing and, you know, being a part of. So, I mean, it's just been an honor just to be able to speak to different teams and, you know, have different conversations and honestly be able to tell your story of how you've got to where you've gotten to. And so, you know, I've loved every second of it. I've enjoyed the whole process, training, going through all the meetings and things of that nature. So, honestly, it's just been great just speaking to each team.
So, you know, we don't have forever, but why don't you kind of quickly tell that story, you know, since how long you've been playing, you know, and what it is you think that got you to this point.
Yeah. I mean, so I've been playing football since I was around five, starting flag, and then, you know, continued to keep playing, love football, love the game, ended up going to, Northern Ohio, moving there from Akron, and, have been playing, you know, peewee football from there on all the way through middle school and through high school. Got to high school, and, you know, my junior year, we got a brand new head coach going into my junior year. He was 25 at the time, very young, not very experienced at all. And so, you know, ended up playing and staying at Norton my junior year. Played, had a great season, and then at the end of the year, I hadn't heard back from anybody. And so no colleges hit me up or anything. So I want to say about a month later, I went to his office and I said, hey, coach, you know, I just want to be honest and say I would love an opportunity to play at the next level. But, you know, I haven't heard from anyone. I know I had a good year, but I haven't heard, you know, been contacted at all. And so he was pretty open and honest with me at the time and said, listen, you know, I understand I got something good on my hands, but I'm just not sure where to go and who to call. And so at the time, I just took matters into my own hands. And so I went on. I made my own huddle highlight film and I made my own email. And put together, you know, kind of the whole deal. And, you know, I had to figure out who to send it to. And so I went online, checked a staff directory for a couple Division I colleges, and found that they had a person online called the Player Personnel of High School Relations. And so, you know, I figured, you know, this is probably the person I'll probably need to hit up just to get my foot in the door. And so ended up doing that. And I sent this out to probably about 15 Division I schools. I emailed about 15 Division I schools, and one school responded. And the one school was Rutgers University, and it was a guy named Omar Hales. He hit me back. He said, my guy. He said, shoot me a text. So I hit him up, texted him. He said, you know, do you got any offers? I said, not one. He said, word? He was like, well, I'm about to change that. So next day, I'm in my counselor's office, and getting ready to send my transcripts over to Rutgers, and my head coach walks into the room and says, hey, Tyler, not sure how they got my number, but Rutgers just called and said that they want to be your first offer and that they're going to be your first offer and that they want you on campus ASAP. And so from there, everything just kind of snowballed, had a snowball effect as far as the schools reaching out, and ended up getting quite a few offers, and then I ended up choosing to go to Cincinnati. and I'm here today in this position.
So you didn't say yes to Rutgers right away?
I did not. No, I did not.
Oh, man. You know, the folks in New Jersey are not going to be happy with you for that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You took that into your own hands and it worked out great for you. That's terrific. So you ended up with some offers to choose from. Just out of curiosity, what else did you end up with? If you don't mind sharing.
Yeah. So, if I can recall, I had them, had Rutgers, I had Toledo, Akron, Syracuse, Indiana, Michigan State, Ball State, Nebraska, Cincinnati, obviously. I'm missing a few more off the top of my head. Oh, Iowa State. I think a few more.
So you end up in Cincinnati and you end up, you know, over 3 years, you end up in a situation where Cincinnati really sort of jumped into national prominence over that period of time. Just what was that like? I mean, because they weren't in that situation when you got there.
No, but the crazy thing is I honestly seen it. Seen that process beginning to take place when I was getting recruited, which is the reason why I ended up choosing Cincinnati. You know, I remember going to my first visit there, going to, you know, they had a spring ball practice. And from the first day I was there, I was like, man, it's just different. You know, the intensity, the way things ran under Fickell, he just had everyone hungry in that building. You could just tell just the way they went about things, their demeanor. And I found myself, you know, after that, every place I went to, I was just comparing it to Cincinnati and no one reached that level. And so I want to say my senior year, they went on to go, I want to say 17th. They got into like 17th in the nation. So they're starting to crack the top 25. They ended up losing to Memphis, who was really good at the time, had some really great players. And, you know, but I could just feel it and see it, you know, when I visited. And so ended up, you know, going there, my freshman year, we go to the Peach Bowl. We're ranked top 10 in the nation my freshman year, face Georgia in the Peach Bowl, and we lose on a walk-off field goal, 51-yard Peach Bowl record walk-off field goal. You know, and then the following year, my sophomore year, I end up starting a receiver and a number of special teams, and then we end up going to the Cotton Bowl facing Alabama. And so, you know, especially that whole, especially the Cotton Bowl year, we ended up making the playoffs. You know, it was different because I want to say, you know, it was a time in the middle of the season we went on like a little long, and we weren't performing the way that we wanted to perform. And I remember walking in the building during that time, and it felt like we were like we lost. And there were times where Coach Fickell would walk in, and he was like, you know, kind of asking us, you know, what's wrong with you guys? You know, we just won, and you know, we're all upset because we had such high expectations, aspirations. And at the time, we kind of felt that the committee would judge us differently because we're a group of five team, that they would, you know, kind of be a little more harsher on us than they would in Ohio State or Alabama, who could have a loss or could have a game in there where they struggled against a team. And, you know, so we were just kind of frustrated all throughout the season because we heard so many things from the outside of, you know, Cincinnati needed to win better. You know, we needed to, you know, really be able to put on style points and things of that nature, just so we could, you know, stay in the running for, you know, the playoffs that year. And the constant message that Coach Fickell kept telling us was just to continue to win. He said, it's a weird year in college football. Teams are losing and it is hard to win. And he said, just at the end of the day, keep winning, just keep winning and everything can take care of itself. And so we ended up doing that. We just kept on winning. We ended up dominating the back end of the season. We ended up winning the conference championship versus Houston. And then from there on, I want to say what was huge for us after that on that night was Oklahoma versus Baylor. And I want to say that Oklahoma versus Baylor game was, you know, a real true tell if we would really be able to get in because of, you know, I want to say at the time if Baylor won that game, no, if Oklahoma State won that game, then it would have been a good shot for them to get into the top four. They ended up losing. That game, we found out during like the third quarter of our conference championship. And after that, you know, Cincinnati felt like we were on top of the world. after we won the conference championship, because we figured that that was kind of our open door to get into the college football playoffs.
Nice, nice. So let's talk a little bit about your pro prospects here, about, you know, the way that things have gone for you. I'm curious, I keep hearing when people look at your game and they look at your size and they look at the way that you play, I keep hearing a T.Y. Hilton comparison. I'm wondering if you've heard it, and I'm wondering what you think of it.
Yeah, I've heard it a couple times. You know, T.Y. Hilton, he's been doing this a long time. He's, you know, been in the business for a while. And so to have that comparison is good. I've also gotten Tyler Lockett as well. And one thing about those guys that I do notice is just kind of their ability to – they're route savvy. And that's kind of what I would like to pride myself on. And one area that I would love to continue to really improve my game on is just kind of that – that skill to be able to manipulate DBs, which I think T.Y. Hilton and Tyler Lockett do very well. Just kind of knowing where to be at, where to find the blind spots, where to find the soft spots and zones and things of that nature. Just knowing how to get open, you know, even with a smaller frame or slimmer frame, they just know how to get open and, you know, where to be and, you know, just how to do it. And so, you know, those comparisons are great. And I honestly, I feel honored to be in that that realm of players.
I'm curious. One of the things that I like to do is read guys a little bit of a scouting report. You know, everybody, NFL.com, everybody does scouting reports on guys. And one of the sites that does these is 33rd Team, which has, you know, a lot of former NFL scouts and executives and people like that, you know, working for them. And I'm curious if I can read you just a little snippet of a scouting report from 33rd Team, and there's some complimentary things in here, and there's some that are less than complimentary. I'm just curious what your reaction to this is. 33rd Team says Tyler Scott is a wide receiver with elite level speed that he uses to get over the top of defenses. There are concerns about his hands as they are inconsistent and he can struggle to secure the football. He's a raw route runner who sometimes rounds his cuts. After the catch, he can run away and separate, but he lacks strength and is not hard to bring to the turf. The best thing he does is track the deep ball and burst past defenders. He'll be picked and play largely because of his speed. I'm just curious, as I said, there's some really complimentary things in there, and there's a couple of things that are maybe knocks on you a little bit. I'm curious what you think of that report.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's going to have their positives, their pros and cons, you know, when being evaluated. I haven't met a perfect player yet, but, you know, to me, like I said, just continue to improve in all areas of my game, whether that's, you know, the consistent hands or the size or the run after catch. You know, that's just part of my game and just wanting to, you know, always be able to improve that part. And even just my ability to, you know, run routes and be a raw route runner. You know, so for me, you know, that's already been, you know, things that I kind of wanted to improve on in my game. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, my job is to, you know, get open, catch the ball, and just be a reliable target and do it the best way that I can with the best of my abilities. And, you know, honestly, to be good at, you know, what I'm really good at, you know, continue to perfect the areas and know my strengths. And so for me, you know, always continuing to develop my fundamentals and, you know, continuing to show great effort in everything that I do at the end of the day will be, you know, my best way to succeed, you know, at the next level.
All right. So I have to ask you, you know, everybody talks about your speed. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think it was, you know, former NFL running back Chris Johnson said before the combine that he thought you were going to threaten the combine record for the 40, which mm-hmm. I think is 4.22 or 4.24, something like that. Yeah. And you ran 4.49 and then 4.44, I think, which mm-hmm. now that's fast. All right. That's fast. But I'm guessing that you walked away from Indianapolis going, man, I'm faster than that.
No,
I mean,
definitely.
What did you think?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, the combine is one big show, and you know, a lot of that's usually TV time. So, you know, TV time, you know, over the years have shown to be very fairly inconsistent. You know, so a lot of scouts, they'll just go off of their clocks. They'll all have their clocks in the stadium, and they'll end up timing you. They don't go off the TV time. Because the TV time has shown to be very inconsistent and, you know, lack a lot of different, you know, just have a lot of problems over the years. And so, yeah, I mean, based off of, I guess, the public view, you know, wasn't very, you know, pleased, you know, as far as what it said on the screen. But no, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm running to get on my pro day and, you know, we'll see what I get there.
And your pro day is coming up in just a couple days. It's recording this on Monday the 20th, and your pro day is what, the 23rd?
It is the 23rd on Thursday.
So, and you said you are going to run that again.
I will.
We will definitely look forward to what happens there. I'm curious. You know, my site obviously covers the New York Giants. And, you know, in my open of my interview, we talked about the Giants and wide receiver. Are the Giants a team that you've talked to some throughout the process?
Yeah. So I actually had a formal interview with them at the combine. So, you know, I was able to talk in front of the, you know, Coach Dable, the GM and all the coaches, the wide receiver coach. So I actually had a formal interview with all the coaches and staff. So I was able to, you know, kind of be able to talk, you know, talk in front of them. And, you know, the meeting went really well, really well. Really loved the staff. They're different. I will say that they're different compared to a lot of different teams that I met with, just as far as just their energy that they bring. You know, their meeting was very, what's the word I want to use? I wouldn't want to use the word laid back, but their meeting was definitely more kind of open, more free, I guess I could say. You know, that you could just tell they kind of really all really gel with each other. You know, they're laughing in there. They were joking around with each other. You know, it's just an interesting, you know, interesting group. And you can tell, you know, Brian Dable really has, you know, changed that culture as far as, you know, what that culture is like. And so, you know, meeting went really well with them. You know, I really liked them a lot you know, it went great.
I have to ask. I mean, I know he wasn't supposed to, but I got to ask, did Dable have the cigar working?
He did not.
That's probably good for you. I'm sure it wouldn't help the room very much. Yeah. Yeah. But if you wind up with the Giants, I'm sure you'll see Dable with a cigar quite a bit. But I'm also curious. You mentioned special teams. I saw you've got just a little bit of, is it kickoff or punt return experience?
Kickoff
from
return.
From Cincinnati, kickoff return. Yep. Is that something that you'd like to have an opportunity to do at the NFL level?
Yeah. I mean, if that calls for it, the teams calls for that. Yeah, no, definitely. You know, like I said, at Cincinnati, I was on kickoff return while rushing the punter. I was on punt block team, came off the edge, and then I was also a gunner as well. And, you know, at Cincinnati, we were a top five punt team as far as net yardage. The last 2 years, you know, I was on one of the starters for being a gunner.
So you did that all 3 years? You did?
I started my sophomore year. So my sophomore year is when I really started playing special teams. I was kind of a two my freshman year, and then my sophomore year is where I really hit the scene, started on three special teams, and also started at wide receiver.
Nice. Nice. I'm curious, you know, you played, you got to go to the Senior Bowl as well. And,
I did not.
Oh, you did not? You didn't? You were invited to the scene. You were invited, but you didn't go?
No. So I'm actually a true junior. So I'm actually not. Okay. Didn't go through any type of Senior Bowl or anything like that.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. I thought I had seen you had gone to the Senior Bowl as well, but yeah, so you're what, 21, 22?
21.
Nice. So any inkling where you might where teams see you in the draft as far as how early, how late you might wind up going? Or is it not something you concern yourself with at this point? I'm just curious.
I guess it kind of just depends on who you ask, which team, because each, you know, team has, you know, their own opinion of you. And it also depends on, you know, each team's needs at the time. You know, so I honestly don't have a true gauge on, you know, who or where. You know, you can kind of maybe get maybe a little gauge just from, you know, who's contacting you, you know, things of that nature. But no real inclination as far as the rounds are concerned. And then me personally, you know, honestly, just trying to just do my part, you know, as far in the draft process, doing everything right, you know, doing what I need to do, test well, interview well, and, you know, hopefully those things take care of themselves.
I am curious, though, your former teammate at Cincinnati, Alec Pierce. He went 53rd to the Colts a year ago. Would you like some bragging rights?
Of course. No, of course, of course. You know, it'd be great to say that.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Hey, Tyler, I appreciate a few minutes. Best of luck to you. And if you land with the Giants, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you this summer. So thank you very much.
No, for sure. Appreciate it.
All right. And Giants fans, that's our show for today. We thank you, as always, for listening. Please remember to stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.